Good morning. Have I said that I like the stirring of God's people? Have I said that before? Well, if I haven't, I have said it, but if you haven't heard it, I love that. As we're gathering, as we're preparing for worship, just the fellowship of God's people is a wonderful sound. Glad you are here on this Pentecost Sunday. We're going to talk more about Pentecost later, but glad that you are here, and so we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit into this place. So if you'll pray with me. Father, we say it every week, but we pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, that you would come into this place, that you would stir us, that our hearts would be found pleasing to you, our very thoughts would be pleasing to you, our worship would be pleasing to you, and that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. Father, we love you and we need you and we exalt you. May you inhabit our praises in this place, in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand if you're able as we worship.
Good morning, church. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I encourage you this morning to lift up a heart of gratitude and thank him for his Holy Spirit that he's poured out on all who believe in Jesus Christ.
Every knee will bow before. bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Well, I heard
Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. And I'm going to invite you to be seated. Children, let's head this way to your children's church time.
Good morning, church. We have victory in Jesus. Amen? Man, that's incredibly good news this morning. Well, it's actually good news every morning, but it's really good news this morning. We can celebrate that together. Just a couple of things. First of all, if you want to register your attendance, you can do that through our app. That would be helpful. Our Vacation Bible School starts next Sunday evening at 5:30. There's an insert in your bulletin with all this information. It's a family night, 5:30 to 7:30. Everybody come and let's just fellowship together. And then the 13th, 14th, and 15th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from 9 to 12, it's time for the kids to learn about who Jesus is, how much God loves them. And I think we have around 200 that are signed up right now. And we're still a week out, so I don't know. We may have to add on a wing to our building this week or something. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for kids to know that they're loved by the Lord. And they're created uniquely. So y'all be praying into that. And also, you can participate in that next Sunday night. Also, since the Carlene and team have decorated the second floor, or will have the second floor decorated for VBS, we'll have to suspend Sunday school on the second floor. But Eric Bing's class meets in the Fellowship Hall, and they'll go ahead and have Sunday school, so you can join them if you'd like to do that. Men's breakfast is on the 18th, third Saturday of the month. And we've got this thing going with Wiley Baptist. They have their men's breakfast on the second Saturday of the month. They've been inviting us over there. We've been inviting them here. And so, you know, God's doing something between the men of these two fellowships. So you can either go to Wiley Baptist at 7:30 on the second Saturday or come to Wiley Methodist on the third Saturday at the same time, 7:30. As we pray this morning, I've got some scripture on my heart out of Philippians 1. This is a prayer that Paul prays for the Philippian church, and it's still relevant in our day as well. So I want to read this scripture and then pray into this scripture. In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of the Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we acknowledge that if your love need to abound more and more in the first century through the Philippian church, that it definitely needs to abound in the church in 2022. There's a culture out there, there's a world out there that needs to know that you're good, that needs to know that they're loved by you. And Lord, if it's not displayed through the church, then I don't know how they're going to get it unless you just uniquely show up supernaturally and just give them an infusion of your love. I believe you want to use the church to do that. So, Lord, I pray that our love abound more and more. I pray for that for Wiley Methodist Church. I pray you take us deeper into your love. And, Lord, we can only love because you first loved us. So maybe we need a fresh baptism of your love, to know how you feel about us so we can express that love to our community, to our culture. And Lord, I pray that for the church in Abilene, Texas. Lord, help us to love well through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for changed lives because we love well. And Lord, I pray for discernment for us. Discernment in these times in regard to what's true and what's not true. And Lord, if we've embraced bad theology, would you reveal that to us? And Lord, if there's theology we are not embracing, would you reveal that to us? We pray for discernment. So we can express the knowledge of the truth to this culture as well. And Lord, I just pray that the fruit of righteousness, fruit of the Holy Spirit, just flow through us. Flow through us to other people. And I just thank you for our pastor preaching on this Pentecost Sunday the importance and the need of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I ask, Lord, as we sit under teaching, as we sit under instruction by the Holy Spirit, that we're changed this day. Lord, if we're struggling with being kind, I pray that we're more kind when we walk out of this building. If we're struggling with peace in our lives, I pray that when we leave this place, we'll have more peace. I pray for joy to break out among us this morning. Lord, just do something supernatural in our midst. I don't know if we come in this building with expectation this morning, but every time we meet with you, we should have expectation in our heart. That we're meeting with you and you want to do something. Help us to be good receivers of what you want to take place this morning. Oh, Father, just bless us so we can be a blessing to others. Lord, I lift up Vacation Bible School to you. And Lord, we can just write this off as some social event that might not have any impact. God, I pray for deep, profound impact in the lives of these kids and the adult workers during Vacation Bible School. Lifelong impact. And Lord, sometimes we have not because we ask not, and sometimes we come to times like this and we don't really ask for you to move in power. Lord, we ask for you to move in supernatural power in the hearts of these kids, in the hearts of the adults. Change all of us for your glory. And Father, I thank you for opportunities to pray. Thankful that you're a God that's always available. Your eyes move to and fro throughout the earth, strongly supporting those whose hearts are true to yours. You're looking this morning, longing to support, longing to impart things to us. Help us to be good receivers. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I remind you, we'll receive our offering at this time. If you have one you'd like to bring forward, or you can give electronically.
Power. Jesus.
no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, or mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, or lie you won't tear down.
Good morning again. I want to also welcome our live stream audience. I can't remember if I did that before or if Billy did that, but we are glad that you're with us. Hope you feel the love of Christ in your home as well as in this place. I also want to say happy birthday to my sweet mama. Today's her birthday. I'm not going to tell them how old you are, Mom, but I'm 61 and she was, I believe, 24 when I was born. But other than that, I'm not gonna say anything beyond that. My lips are sealed. What? Your mama's birthday today too? Double whammy. Awesome. Well, glad that you're with us this morning, and if you are our guest, I'm especially glad that you're here. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. Blue stripe on the top says guest, and would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be out here at this end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guests, and hope that you'll come out and meet me. I'd sure love to meet you. Romans 8 is where we are today. Romans 8. Beginning in verse 5. Now, I want you to look as I read these verses. I want you to look for the struggle, the cosmic struggle between the sinful nature, the flesh, and the spirit. I want you to watch for that conflict that's going on. Verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Well, that fits our culture, doesn't it? But those who live according with the spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Now, I tell Cheryl this all the time when we read different things in the news, that, you know, when people outside of Christ, we can't expect those outside of Christ to behave in a way as if they had Christ. Says the control, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Uh-oh. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, we just sang about this, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you every week. We need you more than ever. So come, Holy Spirit. Come in this place and speak your words of truth, your words of power, your words of life, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is Pentecost. I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. Pentecost Sunday, today's message is Spirit-filled living. Spirit-filled living. So I remember I was in probably my early to mid-30s, and I was in a Bible study. I was not a pastor at this time, and I remember the pastor that was leading the study, a friend of mine, he asked the group, we were talking about Pentecost. He said, "Does anybody know what Pentecost is?" And I really didn't. I didn't. I'm ashamed to even say that, but I didn't know what Pentecost was. I learned. But let's talk a little bit about this Pentecost. Jesus had been promising as he was preparing to ascend and go back to the Father. He had been promising the disciples that, number one, that he was leaving, and that made them sad. And they didn't want him to leave. And if you got my email this week, the scripture that I quoted in there was Jesus said, no, don't be sad. I must go. If I don't go, I won't be able to send the counselor to be with you. And he will be with you and he will be in you. And so Jesus is saying, you know, when he was flesh, when he was on the earth, he was bound by time and space just like you and I. And he got tired. He had to rest. And yet he knew that when he sent the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be with us at all times, in all places, with all believers, and that he would actually live inside of us, that we are walking carriers of Jesus. Did you know that? We're walking, talking carriers. You know how somebody you have, if you've had, the chicken pox or something, it's like you've had it, and you're a carrier. And I remember when our, off subject, sorry, I'll go somewhere else. I was thinking about our daughter when she had chicken pox. We were flying one day, and she had chicken pox. Poor little Kirby. She had spots all over, and we're thinking, they're not going to let us on the plane. Not only let us on the plane, but the lady sitting across the aisle said, would you let your daughter come play with mine? She wanted to go and have her kid get chicken pox. We're like, yeah, go for it, man. Anyway, you don't have to pay extra for that. That's a little mini sermon there. But we are walking, talking carriers of the Holy Spirit. I love that. Jesus even benefited from the Holy Spirit. We see that in Luke chapter 1, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We see in Matthew chapter 4, he was empowered and directed in his ministry by the Holy Spirit. We see in Hebrews 9 that he endured the cross by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we see in Romans 8 that we read today that he was resurrected through the power of the Spirit. And that same Spirit, just think about that for a second, let that soak in. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from this dead, lifeless body, raised him from the grave, that Spirit is in us. Is that daunting? Is that staggering to think about? It should be. All right, so I could preach all year long, every Sunday, and never get to the bottom of what we get from the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit gives us. But I'm going to hit just a few high points that I think are important for us today. I actually put together a sheet of a couple of years ago that I've given to you before. If anybody wants that, they can ask me for it, and I'll send it to them. But it has all these different attributes of the Spirit and the Scripture references for each of those. I'm happy to give that to you if you'd like that. But today we're gonna kind of unpack four points here that I think are important as we go through and navigate these uncharted times that we're in. First of all, the Holy Spirit benefits the believer by connecting us to the Father. Connecting us to the Father. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself today, but I need to be connected to my Heavenly Father. I need that. This world drains us. Am I the only one that has to fight for joy and has to fight for, you know, just peace? I mean, we have to, because I don't know if this makes sense to you, but we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we leak. We leak. And it's not something, it's not the once and done thing. We have to continually ask the Holy Spirit to fill us because the world is draining. It's draining out our toe, and we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit benefits us by connecting us to the Father. Romans 8, a little bit later in this chapter, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So if you are making any decision in life, and it can be basic stuff, I mean, life, just normal stuff, like should I take that job? Should I begin dating this person? Should I make that decision? Or whatever we're wrestling with, the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. When we invite the Holy Spirit to be part of that decision, to part of those of that process, He will guide us in God's will. And you've heard me talk about when I was transitioning to ministry and I really was reacting out of fear, I took the job with the bank for a day. Remember I worked at the bank for a day? And it's because I was operating out of fear instead of listening to God's will. The Holy Spirit benefits the believer by connecting us to the Father. Secondly, the Holy Spirit benefits the believer by providing us gifts. Now, gifts of the Holy Spirit is different than talent. In fact, the Holy Spirit in and of itself is a gift. Acts chapter 2, Peter had just, the Pentecost had happened. The Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. Kind of this picture of it looked like flames of these flames came down and landed on the believers, and they began to speak the gospel in the native tongue of the people that were there. And Peter preaches this passage, this sermon that launched the church. The Holy Spirit came and the church is launched, and Peter begins to preach and he convicts the people. And they say, what are we? Okay, we're convicted. We get it. We want this. What do we do? And here's what he said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's the package right there. Repent and be baptized and ask for the Holy Spirit, and we will receive the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you out of Galatians. This is all, these scriptures are in your handout there if you wanted to keep up. But Galatians 5, now this is down in verse 22, is the fruit of the Spirit. But did you know that there's also, we've got this sinful nature and we've got the Spirit. And did you know that both of them have fruit? Did you know that? It's not just the fruit of the Spirit, but there's also the fruit of the sinful nature. It's rotten fruit, but it's fruit. And let's see. I mean, Paul lays it out there. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. And see if this describes our culture today. See if this is ringing any bells. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I think Paul got to a point where he's like, man, this list could go on forever. And the like. And all the rest of that stuff. You know the fruit of the sinful nature. It's obvious. He goes on to say, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we're living under the sinful nature, it's contrary to the scripture that we read today out of Romans earlier, said that you can't be with God. You can't please God and you can't be with Him. You can't belong to Him if you are a slave to the sinful nature. But here, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what should ooze out of us as believers if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have a bad day, we don't have a bad moment, we're not perfect. But that should be the underlying thing that people see in us on a consistent basis. And if they're seeing this stuff over here, then we are probably surrendered to our sinful nature. And that's the fruit that people are seeing. I walked in both of those camps. I will tell you, this camp's a lot more fun. When we are slaves to the sinful nature, and when that's the fruit that our lives is producing, it's never good. It's never good. I talk to people all the time that this walking in the sinful nature is destroying their life. But praise God, he gives us Jesus. And he gives us a way out of this. We don't have to be a slave to that any longer. We can be slaves of the Spirit. Third thing, the Holy Spirit benefits the believer by providing truth and conviction. Truth and conviction. I'm just going to read these. I know they're in your handout, but man, Jesus is all over this. First of all, he says that he is the way and the truth and the life. He's the truth. Then he goes on to say, John chapter 14, "And I will ask the Father," he tells the disciples, "and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." John 16, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." John 14, 26, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." John 16, "When the counselor comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." Over and over and over, Jesus is referring to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Well, if there is truth, there has to be something else, right? There has to be the opposite of truth. If truth exists, what else exists? Come on, say it out loud. Lies. The lies are that when we're slaves to the sinful nature, we are believing the lies. It says that the devil is the father of lies. That's his native tongue. And he whispers. He whispers these lies to us. Lies. He seduces us with lies. And Jesus says, there's truth. Here, we have an option over here. Truth. Jesus says, I'm the truth, and I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. And he's not only going to be with you and hang out with you, he's going to be in you. We are walking, talking carriers of the Spirit of truth. You know, our culture, I've never seen a head explode, but mine's going to probably someday. Even if you just take someone who's been a strong believer who's been gone for like 10 years, let's say they died 10 years ago, they just came back and it's just like, I honestly believe those people are going, what? You're talking about what? I mean, I told the early church, I'm going to get a t-shirt that just says, what? Because that's the way I feel about some of this stuff I read. I'm just going, you got to be kidding me. Why are we even talking about this stuff? It's so illogical and crazy, the stuff that we're trying to pass off as truth. But our culture, truth is relative. Truth is whatever the majority says. Truth is whatever our favorite celebrity says. Sometimes, we get these celebrities or athletes or whatever, and they come out and say something. It's like, well, it must be true, that basketball player said it was true, so that must be true. No, Jesus is truth. And we should need to listen to him. He is absolute truth. Just like there's truth, there's also lies. And the only way we discern that is through God's Word and through His Spirit. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit benefits the believer by providing us power. Luke 24, Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city, until you have been clothed with power from on high. Acts 1, Jesus again says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So the Spirit, He connects us with the Father. He provides us this giftedness of the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. And he convicts us of truth, and he provides us power to walk it out. Every time I think of that you will receive power, I think of the old Home Improvement. You know, the guy. Did you know they're coming out with a new deal? But I've used this illustration before, but, you know, I've got all these, I don't really know how to use any of them, but I got all kinds of tools and these power tools. And, you know, no matter how well the design they are, no matter how impressive they look, unless they are plugged in, they're worthless. All you can impress people with it. Look at my drill here. This is a T1000 right here, baby. But unless it has power, it's worthless. It's all show. Do we have power, church? The Holy Spirit is our source for power. You know, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And here's what he says. He says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. You know, Cheryl and I used to do a lot of camping, a lot of tent camping, backpacking, and so forth. And you'd make the campfires. And by the way, I am a smoke magnet. Is it anybody else a smoke magnet? No matter where I move around the campfire, the smoke shifts. Hey, Jeff's over there. We're gonna go here. Anybody else a smoke magnet? Anyway, so, but when we would backpack, we could have a fire and everybody, you know, it's kind of dwindling down. The fire dwindles down and it's bedtime. Everybody kind of goes to their tent. The next morning you could get up and the fire would be out, but you could tell maybe there's a little embers in there, and you put a little kindling on top and you, or you get something and give her one of these and that's what it seems to me that Paul is saying, that the Holy Spirit in us needs nurturing, that we play a part in that. We play a part in that. If we want that power, if we want that truth, if we want to be connected to the Father, we play a part in that. And I'm going to get into how we do that, how do we fan in the flame here in just a moment. But I want to read this quote to you. This is from I had to kind of research who this was. Dr. Jerry Vines, he was a very prominent Southern Baptist pastor. He's still alive, but is kind of retired, but I like this quote that he had, and he says this: the average Christian and the average church are somewhere bogged down between Calvary and Pentecost. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. Is this on? That we're in between. We got the drill. We can show everybody our impressive, you know, tool, but we don't have the power. We have not plugged it in. He goes on to say, Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. But Pentecost means God in us. I love that. So God's Word is telling us to fan into flame this gift of the Holy Spirit that has power and truth and connects us to the Father. So the natural question is, how do we do that? And I'm just going to give you some points quickly here. I think, first of all, Scripture tells us to ask God. If you want the Spirit, if you want to fan into flame this Spirit that's in you, ask Him to do it. It's a simple thing. Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you fill me with your Spirit? And would you fan it into flame where it's just a raging fire? I was thinking about this fire that our community fought just recently, the Mesquite Heat Fire, I believe they called it. And I was thinking how awful that was, because it killed a lot of, you know, livestock and burned up homes and all kinds of acreage. And it was a bad thing. But you know what else I was thinking about? It's like, that was a powerful fire. I mean, it jumped over roads, big old wide roads. I mean, it was a fire, and it got people's attention. And it was in a negative way. But man, wouldn't it be nice for us to have that kind of spiritual power in us? We're kind of like Superman. You can leap tall buildings in a single bound. We can jump over highways that try to block us. So ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Pour God's Word into your heart. Get into His Word. Because God is not just a discipline. Yes, we should read it with discipline as well. But it's not just, hey, we need to read this because this is going to make me good. Or because somebody told me I was supposed to. Man, there's life in God's Word. There's life in His Word. Watch what you put into your mind, because your mind is connected to your heart. And your mind, what you put into your mind can affect your heart. Stay involved in church. If it's not this church, find a church. Find a church that honors God's Word, preaches God's Word. And, you know, I was telling the early service that I get thanked pretty often for preaching God's Word. And my first thought is, well, thank you. That's nice of you to say. My second thought is, what the heck am I going to preach? I'm a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What else do I have to share? God's Word. I mean, I do thank the people who have thanked me for that. But that is a testament to the church when a pastor gets thanked for preaching the Word. Put God's Word into your heart. Watch what you put into your mind. Stay involved in church. And if you're in a church, make sure that it's a Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Fellowship with other strong believers. Pray and worship regularly. Fan into flame what God has already put in us. One of the things that we do that is a reminder. Jesus said, as you partake of this meal, to remember Him, to remember what He's done for us. And so the night that I was telling the early service, it wasn't a night where everybody circled around the campfire and sang Kumbaya and everybody was real feeling lovey-dovey and everything. Jesus knew these guys that I've spent 3 years poured my life into, he knew what was coming. He knew that one would betray Him, one would deny Him, and the others would desert Him. And yet, He took the bread and He broke it with that knowledge. And he said, "This is My body broken for you." That's the kind of Savior we have. And then He took the cup and He blessed it and He said, "This is now the cup of the new covenant established in My blood and poured out for you. When you eat and drink of this meal," He said, "remember Me." Remember who He is and what He has done. So, even partaking of this meal, to be reminded of who Jesus is and what He's done for us and how He feels about us, that is part of fanning into flame the Spirit that dwells in us. So as we partake of this meal, the invitation comes from Christ. It's not my invitation. It's not even our church's invitation. The invitation is from Christ. And He, basically, if you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sins, you're welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You are welcome. If you have not, if you're still seeking, if you're still searching and have not made that decision for Christ, I would encourage you to not partake. Until you have made that decision to follow Him. So partaking in this meal begins with repentance. So if you would bow your head and in your own heart, pray your own personal prayer of confession to a holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ Church, you are forgiven. Amen. So if those who are serving will come forward, our praise team can go ahead and come on up. They were served in the first service. So there is two stations over here, and two stations over here. You'll be given a piece of bread, and you dip the bread into the juice and partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual self-contained elements, you can come to the center section here. If you go ahead and receive your elements in the center, there's a trash can in the very back where you can go and open up and partake back there and discard your empty. Also, at each one of the stations, there's a basket. After you've received your communion, there's a coin in there I'd like for you to have. You can take one of those with you, and you'll see what it is when you get those. The invitation is from Christ because He loves us. Come. Thank you. Said we receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Ask Him for more. Do you want more? Ask Him for more. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.